What is going on, everybody? My name is Cutter Lawler. Welcome back to a week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character, as we do every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, so we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. Now, I am not joined, as always, by my partner in crime, my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. He's away this week, so I am recording this all on my lonesome. So I decided what we could do is we could talk about a character that is a bit... I mean, he's one of my, like, secret favourites, just because he started shit and then he had that whole thing where a good comic book writer comes in, makes him really good later on. If this is your first episode, you don't have to do anything. Don't worry about it. But if it is your second and above, I would really appreciate a like, a follow. 5 stars on Spotify would really, really help us out. It's the 3 dots at the top. Just click on that. Rate the show. 5 stars if you're very kind, or you can tell a friend. Just tell one human being that we exist. Obviously, them's are the rules. So if this is your first Hero Zero, by the way, we've hundreds of these. We've covered lots of DC characters and Marvel characters. I do DC characters, Sean does Marvel characters. So this week, I am going to be covering a character from the Batman villain kind of area. He's part of that whole gang, but not really the one you think of first. That's right, I am going to be covering Catman. Look, I know there's a Catwoman, and I know there's a Batman. Now, what if, and I'm just throwing it out there, Bill Finger and Jim Mooney around 1963 said, what if we took those characters and just came up with a very similar character, but just changed the homework slightly so they don't know we're copying? That's exactly what happened, because we have Thomas Blake, otherwise known as Catman. His first appearance was in January 1963. Now, Thomas, or Catman, a pretty run-of-the-mill Silver Age C-list villain. I'm going to be honest with you, for decades. And so he's one of those characters that comes along in the 60s when they were kind of just coming up with ideas, throwing a lot of shit at the wall, seeing what sticks. And he just kind of appeared and then just kind of disappeared for like 40 years because he was just a bit of a joke. And you could only do it so many times that he turns up and gets the ever-loving shit beaten out of him. And then eventually he's like, hang on, I might leave. If they have other characters such as, I don't know, Joker or Two-Face, they might probably write a story about them before they think Catman's the way to go here. He's clearly the one to put Gotham in danger. Detective Comics number 311. As I said, January 1963, Bill Finger, creator of Batman, Bob Kane did literally nothing. You can check that online. I'm sure there's probably some... This is my personal vendetta against Bob Kane. It would be the equivalent of me saying I do this podcast by myself, and anyone who questioned me, I was like, I did. I'm not lying to you. Bill Finger, Jim Mooney came up with him. He got redesigned in 2005. So 1963 to 2005, long time. But Thomas Blake was the product of a rich, sadistic father and a trophy wife mother. Now, this is what it's written. I don't know the woman. She's also fictional. So make it out what you will. His father was obsessed with grooming Thomas to be a man and constantly derided him, basically, for being a mama's boy, if you will. So his father is, and I don't want to stress this enough, a dickhead. And his father's a dickhead, and he's like, you need to stop being whinging. You need to stop your crying, and you need to start just being a man. Don't know what that means, but it's just vague enough in 1963 to work. So his father was just really abusive to him and his mother. When Thomas was 9 years old, his mother had enough and intended to leave his father. But Thomas's dad... would not allow it because, you know, remember the dickhead part there I just said? A complete dickhead. So he was like, no, you're not allowed to leave. This is a loving relationship, you stupid bitch. I assume something along those lines. That's not an exact quote, but I'm filling in the gaps. And so Thomas's dad is like, no, you're not allowed to leave. Thomas goes to grab a hunting rifle to come to the aid of his mother. So he's like, I'm going to get this knife or a gun and I'm going to help my mom get out of here and we're going to go free. His father and him struggle over the gun because remember, he's still only nine. And the gun goes off, shooting his mother in the chest. His father then phones the police to turn fucking Thomas in for the murder. So his dad is like, "You look what you've done now. You've gone and shot your mother. Quick, I'm going to accuse my son of the murder. I'm a very good man. I'm obviously a stand-up person in the community. Just, you know, good vibes. Good vibes all around for this guy." So his father phones the police and he's like, "Look, my son's after killing my wife. That's, he's a bad egg. A bad egg is that little kid who's nine." But before he can get the words out to the police, Thomas stabs him with a hunting knife and then basically kills his father. So he's lost both parents. He's 9 years old. But despite everything, Tom Blake grew up to become very much like his father. He became a world famous trapper of jungle cats. And he turned his life of crime, he turned to a life of crime basically because he had grown bored with hunting. And he depleted his fortune a lot as well. He'd like spent everything he had that his parents left him. And so he just spent his whole time just capturing like jungle cats, going out, just finding them, capturing them. I'm assuming probably being a dickhead to them in general. And eventually he's like, I'm a bit bored of this. This is, it's all right. Like, it's not great. So he decides instead what he's going to do. Crime, obviously. He's going to become a burglar who commits his crimes in a cat suit made out of an ancient African cloth he believed gave him a cat's nine lives. The costume was even modelled after a Catwoman's disguise just because he was like, well, I mean, I could become a vigilante, but Batman is kind of already working in Gotham. I don't really want to take his kind of deal. So I'll just become Catman, commit crimes, and everyone will say, good job, Thomas. You've done it again. What a guy. So he becomes Catman and he just kind of, you know, does the usual criminal spree from 1963 in which he does the Catwoman thing. He's only doing crimes for things that are cat-based or cat-themed. He's going to the museum, he's stealing, like, an absolutely beautiful cat ornament for no reason. He's walking past, like, several things worth way more, but that looks like a cat. So it's just kind of the deal back then. They all just kind of did it. You had to rob, or you had to basically steal whatever was working with your team at the time, because otherwise you look ridiculous. Everybody'd be laughing at you. If he went in and started stealing paintings, people would be like, you're not paint man, you're cat man. Get back in there and steal that cat that's worth half the price. Get back in there now. So he starts his criminal spree, stealing cat statues. Batman and Robin eventually deduce his criminal identity almost immediately. 1963, remember. So Batman and Robin show up and they beat the shit out of him. He's in a giant cat robot, by the way, in one of these first stories, which is a fantastic move. Batman shows up just himself. He's like, no, you don't have a big bat robot. That's your mistake, Bruce. I've got a big cat robot. The heroes, however, destroy the machine and Catman tries to escape. He's carried away by a nearby river, after which he is presumed dead. This is going to be a theme that I'm going to touch on in this report quite a few times, in which he seemingly dies a lot. His whole thing was, he's dead. Oh wait, no he's not. He's back again for another story. So you'll find out that every so often Batman and Robin show up, they beat him up, and then he falls off something, or he gets caught under something, and they're like, well, there's nothing we can do. He's definitely dead, Robin. Let's go home. And then like 5 issues later, 5 years later, this fucking Aegis shows back up, just completely fine. Nothing wrong with him. He does return to Gotham soon with a new plan. During this time, he recruits Batwoman, and Blake provides her with a Catwoman costume. So now Batwoman can be Catwoman. And, like, perfect. That's the best way to go about it. Now he's got his old partner. And this was a mistake, however, because Batwoman immediately led Batman and Robin to the hideout, and he gets the shit kicked out of him. He tries to retreat on a boat, which crashes into the sea, apparently killing him again. So, once again, turns up, commits some crimes, gets the shit kicked out of him, dead. That's kind of the situation we're in on a loop here. It's later revealed, though, that the reason why Catman keeps surviving these immediate death situations and deadly accidents is because of his cat suit. And this is how they wrote it, is that it has a magical clot that grants the wearer 9 lives, just like a cat. So Catman learns of this, and he starts using it to his advantage, like escaping from Batman and Robin by exposing his life, or like leaping off high things, knowing that, well, it'll be fine, I've got 5 left, I'll just kill myself now and come back again. I mean, it's fucking mad, it's silly, but very funny to watch the villain, like, oh no, I've got no other options. You know, like how when they, like in movies or in TV shows, they chase them to the end of the alley and you're like, there's nowhere to go. Now you gotta come with us. No. He then just like fucking shoots himself or like takes acid or something. Or like takes like cyanide pills, and then he's dead. But he's gonna come back eventually, because he's got 9. You wouldn't want to lose count, by the way. So what happens then is he exposes his life multiple times, but he keeps coming back, and eventually he gets taken to prison. And so several years later, he comes back to Gotham again. By the way, when I say several years later, I mean like years later in real life as well. So he appears, 5 years pass, he comes back for one issue, Batman kicks the shit out of him, he goes away, same thing over and over again. So several years later, he returns to Gotham, and he starts committing some crimes, and Catwoman is blamed for them. It's kind of like, these are cat-based crimes, there's only one other idiot that I know of, and he's definitely dead, so it has to be you, Catwoman. She's like, it's not me. And then, through that logic, they're like, wait, this fucking idiot is back. In which his new plan is he wants to create a criminal haven in Greece, or a criminal retreat. Batman and Catwoman track him down and beat the shit out of him and send him to his apparent demise again. Although, because of the magical properties of a suit, Catman survives. But what happens with this is that he does manage to capture Catwoman and retrieve his costume at the end of this. They steal his costume so he can't survive anymore. He does learn that his magical costume doesn't work for anymore. And why they did this is because obviously in comic books you can't have a character who just consistently dies. Eventually they will reach the number 9, or what will probably happen is a writer will forget what number they're on and let him survive, and then you have people like us writing in like, well, actually he's on now 10 lives, that's wrong, that kind of thing. You didn't really want to put yourself into that situation, so let's just have the suit no longer work. It's just, the magic is gone. Just a vague enough reason that you don't really need to explain. It just no longer works. So now he can die just like the rest of us. Which, to be honest, that's gonna be a tough break for old Tommy, because he dies a lot. Like, he's so shit at trying to stay alive that this seems like a bad idea. So what happens then is years pass. Like, I'm talking like at least 20 years in comic books, in real life and in comic books. And so no writers really want to use him, because why would you? Like, Batman's got the Condiment King, he's got all those joke villains, and they all just kind of show up, they lose, they leave. They're always the villain, I always think of them. They're the villain that Batman fights at the start of an issue or the start of a story before, like, Riddler or Two-Face or Bane reveals their big plan to be like, while you were fighting him, I had planted bombs in the fucking orphanages, Batman. That kind of thing. They're kind of the level that we're talking. So he disappears. And Kevin Smith, very famous person, Kevin Smith in real life, he started writing for the Green Arrow comic books around 2001, I think it was. Maybe 99, 2001, somewhere around then. And he liked Catman. And he just kind of thought he was a ridiculous character, so he decided to bring him back in a story called The Archer's Quest. So he comes back in like an Oliver Queen, Green Arrow storyline, and he resurfaces as a minor foe, and this is really where Kevin Smith kind of delves into the ridiculousness of this character, in which he kind of reveals that Catman has become a pathetic loser, basically, in the preceding years. So once he could no longer survive death, it seemed that he kind of just stepped away from crime, but not really, just people stopped asking him to help. So he's like completely overweight, he's looked down upon by the other villains, Green Arrow kicks the shit out of him without even trying. His hair has been dyed jet black because, in his own words, he thought that the black hair made him look tougher. Now, still a very bad man. He's hitting his girlfriends at the time. So still absolute dickhead, Thomas Blake. But now there's like a sad element to it as well, which I think there always was, but it's gotten worse. And he even like wears his old costume underneath his regular clothes in case something happens, which is like, dude, come on, you're a villain. And so, in that story, that's kind of where our first introduction to him coming back into like into the new century. And it's just kind of like, oh, Catman, what are you doing? It's just sad, man. It's just really sad. But then what happens? Is in 2005, a storyline comes along by one of the best comic book writers in the world, Gail Simone. And she loves Catman. Just, you can just tell that just really loves that character. And so they did a story called Villain United and the Secret Six. And it's really obvious that they love writing this character, making him quest for redemption, but forever unable to see just how odd his desire is. So within that, it's basically the idea of like, he constantly wants to have a heart of gold. Like, he wants to just be a good person, but he's always a brutal killer who's always doing bad shit. And it's like a constant dichotomy or a constant, like, you're never going to get to who you want to be if you keep doing what you are. It's like a tragic story. So, like, it only takes one writer, like Gail Simone comes along, looks at this character and is like, this character's been shat on for 50 years. I can bring something unique to this. There's a weird idea that I can come along. And we talk about it a lot on Hero or Zero. There's something really cool about a character that's been in the doldrums, that's just been kind of forgotten over the last 25 years. And then one writer comes along, whether it be Grant Morrison, Gail Simone, any of them over the last 25 years, just kind of looks at them and just takes a liking to whatever it is. They just see like a glimmer of something. Well, I don't know what it is, but they just see something that they're like, I could work with that, or I have a cool idea for that. Which, and when they start doing it, you find like readers immediately hold on to that, because there's nothing better than seeing like somebody who's a loser, and then you can kind of change it up and you can turn it into a crowd favourite. Like, it's a cult favourite, if you will. And so Catman, he, in this story, Gail Simone sets it up that instead of, after all of his embarrassments, after all of his just like, he's overweight now, Green Arrow's kicking the shit out of him, he's just a loser, a complete loser. So the 2001 story with Kevin Smith was the last straw. And what he does is he basically attempts to remake himself as a man. And we have a Rocky montage moment in which he goes back to Africa and begins living amongst a pride of lions. That is how it's written, that like, he's just hit rock bottom. He's got nothing. I think he even thinks about like attempting his own, like to take away his own life at one point. Like, it's just, he's gotten literally nothing. There's nothing left for him. He realizes that it's done. And so he goes back to Africa and lives amongst a pride of lions. He immediately loses all the weight and he regains his sense of self-worth. And not only that, his fighting skills. So he becomes like a complete fucking killer in hand-to-hand combat, just living amongst lions. So he just, like, you can see immediately how that is such a cool idea, that you take this run-of-the-mill, like, dumb character, put him in that situation for 6 months to a year and a half, and then that's at a perfect origin. Straight away, that character has been rekindled immediately. They're like, well, now it explains. If he shows up and he starts fighting Batman and he starts, like, 50-50 in that fight, that it's kind of even, it's a lot more understandable than if he had just showed up with no real background and you're like, well, Batman really should break all of his bones. So this perfect existence, however, so he's gone back and he's not even trying to do crime, he's just a warrior now in nature. And this perfect existence, however, would be shattered by the arrival of recruiters from the Secret Society of Supervillains. So they hear that he's like, they've heard of the stories of Catman's been in that jungle for a year and a half. He knows his fucking shit. He's been out there with the Pride of Lions. He's a complete badass now. So they go to try and recruit him into the Society of Supervillains. And he turns them down. He refuses. Which, obviously, they do not like. Because it was one of those where, like, well, we like you now. And Catman's like, yeah, but you didn't like me before. This is who I am now. I'm not a villain. I'm not a hero. I'm just here. This is who I am. They didn't really take too kindly to being refused. And as it was embarrassing to have a nobody like Catman refuse them. That's what they describe it as. It's a nobody refusing them. So Catman, he refuses and then he goes off to do something else. And when he comes back, the entire family of lions that he was with have been slaughtered. So they didn't take kindly at all to what his rejection. Catman immediately vows revenge against the society and is subsequently recruited into the Secret Six. And together, the Secret Six waged war against the society. So, like, Secret Six, they hear about this, immediately they're like, Catman, you can join us. We're going to fight the Secret Society of America. Secret Society of Supervillains, I should say. But, like, Secret Six also, by the way, they're villains as well. But they're like, they don't want to join the supervillain group. So they're like, they're own six villains and they're just going to fight them. When he found out it had been Deadshot who had performed a hit on his pride, he was furious. But Deadshot actually apologised to him and Catman forgave him, weirdly. And they kind of became like weird friends. During this time, he underwent a relationship with fellow Secret Six member Cheshire, who we covered on the show last week with Roy Harper. Or sorry, 2 weeks ago with Roy Harper. And Cheshire actually has a child with Roy Harper and also a child with Thomas Blake Jr. because she gives birth to Thomas Blake. Thomas Blake Jr. is the child. So Thomas Blake is Catman and then him and Cheshire have a child called Thomas Blake Jr. During the Battle of Metropolis, he fights with the Secret Six for a long time and Cheshire is there and then eventually they decide to strike out on their own as neither heroes or villains, but rather mercenaries. They're not villains, they're not heroes, they just kind of do shit for money. That's all they are at the moment, which is kind of like a long way from where he came from, of man who is based off a cat. Now, to be fair, during like the Battle for the Cowl storyline, which is a storyline in like 2007, 2008, when Batman dies in comic books, Gotham has no Batman, and then like the whole place is going insane, all the villains are like trying to take over. He is seen actually defending Gotham from other evildoers. So he's like fighting for Gotham at that point. And the civilians even refer to him as a hero. And it's he finds it really weird and surprising, but they do. And it gives him like this weird, like, good sense that he's never had that people like him. And I wanted to finish on a story called Cats in the Cradle, in which Catman receives a call saying that unless he kills all of the Secret Six, his son will die. And Catman says no, he's going to track them, the kidnappers, down, and he will kill them and get his son back. So kidnappers have rang him and they're like, we've kidnapped your son, kill all the Secret Six or you're never going to see him again. He tracks down all of the kidnappers one by one and he kills every single one of them. And when he reaches the employer, he discovered that Thomas Jr. had actually been kidnapped because Cheshire, his mother, had killed a man's wife and child while on a mission. So they basically, Cheshire had, she's an assassin, as we talked about in the Roy Harper show. So bad, bad person. So she's done a, she did a hit job on this man's wife and child, and this man now wants revenge, so he's kidnapped Thomas's child. Makes perfect sense, but obviously Catman, he didn't start any of this, he doesn't know anything about any of this. He's just like, that's my kid, like, you can't do that. The man then revealed that Thomas Jr. was safe. He had actually been adopted by a normal family and would grow up away from the dangers of having such infamous parents, and that if Catman truly wanted him safe, he would leave him alone. And Catman agreed, but still killed the man in the end. So Catman agrees to it, kills the man, because he's like, you kidnapped my son. And then he says the famous line of, Thomas Blake Jr., my son, wherever you are, rest in peace. Rest in peace. And so that is how Catman kind of comes into the New 52, and they can kind of change it from there. But that's one of my favourite Catman stories, of just like the transition from 1963 to then. Night and day. And it only takes one or two, like Kevin Smith kind of took him down to the very bottom, and then Gail Simone kind of comes in 2005 and is like, what if we took this character that's a loser and made him go back and live amongst like a pride of lions for a year? Just, and he just becomes one with nature and just a psycho. And I think it works so well, because when he comes back, he's just a complete badass. So in terms of powers and abilities, he's got a genius level intellect. Hand-to-hand combat, he's very advanced. It was basic and now it's advanced. Hunting and tracking is something he's excellent at. He has no superhuman abilities, but he can track a scent for miles. He's got survival, weaponry, athletics. He's obviously got the cat suit that used to have magical properties. He has enhanced senses. And he also has, like, in the olden times, he had, like, catarangs and shit like that. But he also has a partner in crime that is his tiger, Rasputin. And Rasputin is considered a weapon by many. And Catman has a strong bond with the Siberian tiger. That's right. He has a fucking Siberian tiger with him at all times. He also had a Catmobile once, which is just, that's just silly. Can't be fun in 1960s. But, yeah, so that is my report on Catman, a character that I don't think is talked about enough, but has one of the best transitions in comic books from, like, zero to hero, that kind of fits in with this show. But, yeah, so one of my favourite Batman villains, just in terms of how far he's come, starts terrible, takes 50 years, but eventually he gets there and he becomes like a cult classic, someone that people like just because he's a badass. So yeah, if you like the episode, that's going to be the end of the report. But we have done hundreds of other characters on Hero Zero, covered lots of DC, lots of Marvel, lots of stuff. We also do reviews over at our Patreon. If you like movie reviews, we now release one every single month, and the patrons recommend a movie for us, and we just give it a review, see if it still holds up. It's mostly superhero movies, but now it's kind of devolved into any movie. We also have, of course, our Heroes for Hire show on Mondays, in which we do movie news and weird news back to back. So if you are interested in either of those shows, there's timestamps on the Monday show, so just go straight to the time that you want, whether you want the movie show or the weird news show, you can go there, it's all in one episode. Yeah, so thank you very much to everyone for listening. Shout out to all the patrons, you're all legends. And just tell one human being that we exist. So I've been Conor Lawler, and we shall see you all next week, guys. Bye.